Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with the Council of Elders program and the founder, Mr. Jansen Brooks. And, I mean, we got a really good show for you guys today. Just bear with us. We kind of running a little late, but you know one thing, though? We not late, because we never late when we want to hear something really, really good going into our soul. So, and we got Mr. Jansen Brooks right here, and he going to put all of these sweet thoughts and all of this stuff that we supposed to be having in our soul this morning, he going to put it in. This is better than coffee, y'all. This is better than coffee. Okay, with that said, I'm going to go ahead on and turn it over to Mr. Jansen Brooks. And Mr. Jansen Brooks, go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, everybody, and good morning, John. Again, my name is Jansen Brooks, and I came up with this Council of Elders concept so that older people could reach out to younger people, and younger people could reach out to older people. The purpose, like I said, is for elders, older folk, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, etc. Young people are especially invited to call in today, and if we have any elders or middle-aged, call in today and voice your opinion. My dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America, and for them to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single group, so I'm assembling a group of elders here in the Sacramento, California area, and I'd like to have about 10 volunteers. Once we get enough volunteers, we can go to youth centers, juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, and churches, etc. We can also be available to young adults as well. Sometimes they need advice on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers, their marriages, etc. Moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation today and the older generation should start to merge. And with that, I usually have a thought or a subject or a topic for us to consider and special guests to talk. But today, I thought we would have an open conversation about how we as elders can be of service to younger people and also to our community with our wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we have gained over the years. So if there's anyone in the listening audience today that would like to chime in, and maybe over the past couple of months since we've been broadcasting, maybe you had a question or you had a comment but didn't get a chance to get on, I'd like to invite you to call in today and just tell us what you think. So, John, you have so honestly and helped me with this. As far as your thoughts about the Council of Elders, how you been feeling about that?
Well, it's been, well, first of all, I would, I see there's a few people that have been called in, and I want to let them know if they want to join the conversation, please press 1. Okay, so that way I'll let you in, and then you guys can voice your opinion. But how I feel about the Council of Elders, I think that's a very good program that we need to initiate in the communities. And not only, you know, not only that older people can give advice to younger people, but believe me, there's a lot of young people out there that can give advice to older people. Okay, look, let me tell you something. It's situations out here, since sometimes we have a communication gap between the younger people and the older people, you know. Whereas the younger people, you know, they into the all the modern technology and things of that nature. You know, the things are actually ran on a computer. Everything. I mean, you know, you can buy stuff on a computer. You can, you know, you now they got Zoom, or to where as though you can have your meetings and stuff on a computer. They got Facebook Live, whereas though you can have, you know, you can be on a computer and talking to the world. It's so much that modern technology that's out there. And to be honest with you, we need those young people that know how to you know, work these this modern technology, you know. How to build certain things on a computer. Us as older adults, we probably can do it, but, well, I don't want to use the word but. Let me stop that. Okay, it will be difficult for us to do it. It's like they was born with that. So we definitely need them as much as they need us. You know, that's the way I see it. But Council of Elders is really, really good. I think these days we have to start working together. And the younger people got to start treating the older people as though they're the elders. You know, there's a lot of things that we know, but we, you know, it's from the older school. We the old school. A lot of us don't believe in certain things. A lot of us believe as though you spoiled, you spared a rod, you spoiled a child, or something like that. A lot of elder people, you know, they live by the Bible. They live by the Ten Commandments: that I shall not kill, that I shall not commit adultery, that I shall not baffle witness against their neighbors. There's a lot of things. This is how we set our platform for the elderly people. So, you know, if you did something really wrong in a community, you come and talk to the elders. That's one of the things the elders are going to tell you: oh, well, you shouldn't have did that. Oh, well, that was great you did that. Because, you know, we got that wisdom. We do. You know, and that's how I see. But we got somebody else want to come on in. I'm going to let this person come in and let them talk, okay?
Right on.
Okay. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Malcolm Hughes. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Malcolm, how you doing?
I'm good, my man. How about yourself?
Just trying to make it, bro. That's about it.
Hey, I want to follow up on your theme regarding the younger people. I like to see some younger people. We got a lot of young activists out here these days, the Black Lives Matter movement, and a lot of protests going on about some of the injustices and inequities in the United States of America. I like to see if we can convene some of the younger generation on your show as panelists in the future for a couple of weeks. See what's on their mind and see how we can get together and maybe come up with some ideas as to how to resolve some of these things and kind of hash things out. And as John was saying, I know that we don't agree, that we're going to have a lot of areas of disagreement as far as the generational gaps and what older people have learned through many years of going through the toils and struggles. But we want to listen to what the younger people have to say, and let's see if we can't come together to make a little bit of change here in the States. I'm done.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, Malcolm, I agree with you. And the reason for that is because that's what I'm looking for right now. I have a television talk show. And, you know, we local. And I'm looking for right now some young people. I got one person. But I'm looking for some young people to replace, you know, to be – you know, well, to replace me, because I'm an older gentleman. I'll be 70 years old in a couple of months. And to replace me and maybe two other people, okay, that's in a seat right now. And I, you know, because we want to make a difference in a community, but we need young people. You know, they, man, I can't be going out there, you know, and marching and stuff. Man, I got lung problem. I got all kind of problems. And, you know, like I can work. I can still be part of the talk show, but I'll probably be in the back, you know. But I need some mm-hmm. people that in the front. I mean, we got to realize that, you know. Once because, you know, young people, they the one that going to have to pick up that torch. They the one that going to have to stand in them, sit in them seats with counts, with your mayors and with your chief of police and things of that nature. And I want to let all young people, if you listening in, I want to let you know that you do not need to have no doggone degree to get out there and make a difference in your community. You don't have to have that. You don't need that. I mean, you know, it's good for you to have a degree and things like that because, you know, some people look down on you because if you don't have that, but you don't have to have that. Only thing that you have to have is the passion. And you got to want to do it. You got to want to make a difference in your community. You got to want to make a difference in people's lives. I mean, a positive difference. You got to tell them the right, you got to tell them the right and wrong. You know, that's the way I see it, you guys. I mean, really.
Right, right. Well, John, you are right, and also Malcolm. This is an attempt to actually, you know, bridge the gap and just have a bridge the communication gap, and also just young people and older people can share with each other. And a lot of times I find that younger people will listen to somebody else besides their parents before they listen to their parents. And so we sort of have an obligation to just if we see some younger people, to try to communicate with them and give them our best advice, you know, if they're listening. So, but today, if there's anybody in the listening audience that would like to join in, I know that there are people that listen who stay in listening mode, and I would just like to say just press one and let us know what you're thinking about. Today is the day that we don't have a particular topic. Hopefully this is elders and some younger people just having a conversation about the times and what we can do to move forward. I was just thinking this year is really is a trying year, 2020, the year, I guess you could say, when you go to the optician, you can see clearly. I guess we can see clearly now, huh? we can see clearly. We got leadership, and we got protests, all kinds of stuff. But, John, if anybody's out there, press one, just you can let them in.
They have some people, but they haven't pressed one. There's a lot of people listening in. Sometime on the talk show that you're going to find out that a lot of people is not going to press one because a lot of people just want to listen. They call in to get some relief. You know, that's why mm-hmm. on talk shows you have to be ready. You have to be ready to, you know, to pull out information. You know, this
right,
is Council
right.
of Elders program, you know. What can we do for you, you know?
Right, so. right. Well,
so, Mr. Malcolm, if you got something else that you wanted to share, you know you're welcome. Jump on in.
I hear you. I'll jump in as appropriate.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, as elders, part of our charge is to impart wisdom where we can and listen to young people because, like I say, they have a lot to say. And one thing I noticed about the young people today, they don't have a lot of patience like we had, you know, just march and march, you know. These young people today, they want it now, and they don't want to wait no more. What do y'all think about that?
Yeah, but my thing is, I don't know, I like last marches that we had, it was for the gentleman that that the police killed, okay, and Floyd, Brother Floyd, and they tanned down, well, they burnt one of the precincts, and they was marching and just tanned down, breaking windows and doing all kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not for that. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting weak, you know. I'm not for that. Any, you know, tearing down stuff, building, burning down the police precincts and stuff like that. And I'm wondering, I don't know, I might be wrong. And if I'm wrong, y'all, please, please correct me. Let me, you know, open my eyes. I don't really think it was blacks doing that. You know, I think I think it was other you know, other race of people. I think it was actually Caucasian doing the majority of all of this tearing down stuff, burning the precincts and all of that stuff. But you see, the thing is, it makes black people look bad. It makes us look bad. We don't want we don't want to look negative all the time to the world.
John, I was going to say, I agree with what you're saying. I think a lot of the protests have been hijacked by others. You got all kind of people who are coming out and taking part, and you got what I call professional, I hate to use the word thugs like the president used, but you have professional people who are coming in and infiltrating the marches and contributing to this violence or initiating this violence. And that's not the purpose of the, that's not the goal that I see the peaceful protesters are doing. They have an agenda in mind, and they're following a peaceful protest march. And so I think to a great extent that the march has been hijacked. Matter of fact, there was a Wendy's that was burned up down here, and they actually arrested a white female who they say started one of the perpetrators of the fire at that Wendy's down here where the guy was shot in the back. And so you got this kind of thing going on, and you can I've seen other different instances and heard over the internet or whatever about other people who are coming in and initiating a lot of the violence. I want to throw out this. I've been looking at these Confederate statues all my life in southern towns. I'm from the South, obviously live in the South now. And seeing some of the – how do you guys feel about some of these statues finally coming down? I mean – I become somewhat insensitive to those statues. I mean, they were there. They've been there since. That's the only thing I've known since I was a kid. But I do take a certain amount of pride. It doesn't. They really, quite frankly, don't bother me anymore. You never have, never will. But at the same time, I still take a little bit of pride in seeing some of these statues coming down that have been of these Confederate generals and these United terrorists. Who are internal to the United States anarchy, I guess is the word, who profess anarchy on the United States, and I'm talking about these Confederate soldiers who rebelled against the United States and were defeated in their war, and now they got statues up. Something I've never really been bothered by, but I take a great deal of pride in seeing them come down now. What are your thoughts?
Malcolm,
I'm feeling like you, Malcolm. It don't it never did bother me because I'm from the South, too. I'm from Louisiana. And I've seen, I remember the days colored only, white only water fountains. I remember the days to where, though, you know, we had to get our food in the back of the restaurant. We had to use the bathroom. They had an outside toilet at the bus station. I remember those days. But then those statues and stuff, that stuff never did bother me. It never did. Be honest with you, it never did bother me. I don't even care if it stay there or if they take it down or they leave it there. It don't bother me. I think it bothers mostly the younger generation because it's something for them to do. I don't know, but it never did bother me. Never did. You know, so, you know, I don't know how to feel about that. But one thing, another thing that I wanted to ask you guys, I was watching, that was last night. No, I'm sorry. Early this morning, I got up and I was watching the news. And they was talking about it was three policemen they fired. Forgot what town it was because I caught the end of it, where they caught them, you know, making remarks and stuff about blacks, you know, and that they was going to kill them and all kind of stuff. It was three policemen.
Yeah, I heard about that. But, John, could I chime in on the statues?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the statues is something that, to me, is a slap in the face of black people. The statues are saying that the people that like them, that we wish we had a one so that you could be enslaved. To me, the statue would be like a Jew that was living in Germany, and they got swastikas. It's a slap in their face. And then they, over here, they got Confederate flag. To me, these people were traitors, you know, that they never should have put them statues up in the first place because they were traitors against the United States. And so what they stood for, if they had won the war, we would still be slaves. That's what, to me, the idea is to terrorize us and psychologically damage us and so that we'll stay down. And so when your little kids and grandkids see one of those statues, and then they say, well, Daddy, who is that? Oh, that's Robert E. Lee. He was a Confederate general. Well, Daddy, what was the Confederate? Well, they were some people that if they had a civil war, if they would have won the war, then would have held us back. And so to me, I'm glad to see every statue come down like that, that one of them Confederate people, I'm glad to see it. You know, I wouldn't care if they just melt them down because to me, it's insulting, you know. But I grew up with them, and I just felt that it wasn't anything that I could do about them, so in a situation like that, all you can do is just, you know, deal with the situation. You know, you don't want to end up getting lynched yourself because you rebelled against a statue. So anyway, I'll just summarize it to say that to me, I'm glad to see every statue of a Confederate soldier, and I'm glad that NASCAR took down those Confederate flags that they got. And as far as I'm concerned, they can tear down every Confederate symbol, and let's move on. That's all I got to say on that subject. But anyway, getting back to what you were saying, John, about the...
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I don't know about you guys, but on the statues and stuff, you know, the reason why it don't really bother me is because I don't know too much about them. Okay, I never was interested in that type of history. I know we talked about General Lee and all of Ulysses and all of these people, you know, during my when I was in high school when I took, you know, in history. But I never was interested in that. I wasn't interested in learning nothing about those people. So maybe that's why it didn't bother me. And you know, I don't want to be ashamed to say it, but maybe it didn't. It don't bother me. It just don't bother me. I don't care about them flags. I don't care about the flag. I don't care about the statues. I don't care if it stays. I don't care if they take it down. It just don't really make no difference to me. The only thing I care about, to be honest with you, is uplifting my people, uplifting my community. You know, teaching my people right from wrong. Teaching my people to be humble, my young people, my young queens, my young kings, you know, the brothers and sisters, you know, to teach them to love one another. You know, that's where I'm at. I don't care nothing about the old flags, about, you know, you can grade on and put one next door to my house. It don't really make me no difference. I'll speak to my neighbor.
Whoa, whoa, hold up,
John. Yeah, we just sit there and go that for her. Leave me not say that because my neighbor Fuller Ride put a Confederate flag right next door to my house, man. I'd probably be out there telling my take that shit, you know.
Right, I had a person. I bought a heating and cooling system for my house, and the company sent out, you know, some people to take my old one down and put the new one up. And one of the young men had a Confederate flag on his truck. Now this is in California, and I'm like, the nerve of these people! I'm spending all these money with them, and they're gonna send one of the workers out here with a Confederate flag on the truck. And I would just insist. I couldn't believe that. Couldn't believe it. And so I was telling somebody about it a few days later. And they said, man, you ought to call them folks and tell them to come take that stuff back. And I was so mad that I called them and said, y'all come back and get it, because they had a 30-day, satisfaction guarantee. So anyway, the long story short, the man came over to my house, and he was want to know why you want to take it down? Why do that flag bother you? I said, man, think of it like this. Think if you were living in Germany and you a Jew and they got swastikas all over the place, and you know that the people that was behind these swastikas hated you, they murdered your people. How would you feel? He said, yeah, I see what you mean. I said, well, that's what the Confederate flag mean to me. My people was kept in slavery for several hundred years, and then after that, they was kept down by these people. And for somebody to send something like that to my house, it's scandalous. It's ridiculous. I don't care if they keep it in their living room somewhere, you know, but they're gonna want to do business with me and come out with a Confederate flag? No, y'all can take it back. Anyway, the dude, he reduced the price so much that I decided, okay, well, I'll keep it, you know. But don't send nobody else out here with no Confederate flag.
All right. I just want to let everybody know, the audience know, that you're listening at Council of Elders program on Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And if you guys want to join the conversation, we would love for you to join the conversation. Please press 1, and I will let you in.
Okay, so yeah, Malcolm, the symbols of the Confederacy, I think we need to just move on, you know, and don't have the younger people, generation coming up, kids and grandkids, being psychologically damaged by that, which I think it does, you know. It's like a symbol of oppression. But anyway, I know everybody thinks differently, so.
I'm going to ask you and Malcolm each a question. What y'all think about those police officers? Do you think there's more of that around the United States and our police department? And do you think that that this is the reason why policemen, they are going out killing our young black men and women? and beating them up and stuff. Because that was some disturbing news, you know, this morning when I woke up about these officers got caught. They must have left the speaker on or the recording on, and they got caught. They was talking some crazy stuff, man.
I haven't seen what you're talking about, but I mean, you know, we all know that the internet and the video court or the cameras on our cell phones and stuff have exposed quite a bit of police corruption and abuse of blacks that's been going on for years, ever since the Civil War, ever since Jim Crow. You know, this kind of behavior is nothing new. We have seen it depicted on TV shows. We've seen it sometimes exposed on news documentaries and so forth. So we know it is rampant. It is widespread. I'm just grateful that in this age of technology, so much of it is being exposed. And not saying all cops are bad cops, all white cops are bad cops, but we do want to get rid of that component of them that are bad cops and look for every opportunity they can to go out and bust up a black person's out the head or do something demeaning to black people and mistreat them and hiding behind a badge all the time. You know, I think that's what the most disgusting part of it is that they can get away with stuff like this and hide behind their badge. So it's just a total abuse of power. It's nothing new, and just hopefully we can root it all out during the current times.
Right, right. Well, you hardly ever hear about white people unarmed getting killed by the police. Maybe it happened, but they certainly don't advertise it. It seems like they don't give these black kids the benefit of a doubt. You know, they shoot first and ask questions later. Seem like to me. Has anybody heard about any? I know this is a tough. Well, I won't even ask it. I was going to say, well, anybody heard about any unarmed white people that got shot with no weapons, nothing, you know? But it seemed like every other day it happened with black folks, and so now it's just really gotten to the point. I see they're starting to change the laws, and you know.
My thing is that, you know, the reason why it's happening to black folks is because of what I heard this morning. And if there's one precinct doing it, it's many more, man. These people is all up there and infiltrated the police department and it's just a lot of hatred. And they're going after black folks. Man, this is serious. This is very, very serious. And we wonder why our young people always, they look at a police and they take off running. Because they're scared. They're afraid that they might get hurt. That's what I think. I might be wrong, y'all, but that's the way I think.
Hey, there was an incident down here, again, with that Wendy's where the cop shot the black guy in the back that just shocked and surprised me. But you had black people walking around with guns exposed, AK-15s, sidearms, you know, just all kind of weapons, and they were kind of patrolling the area around around the Wendy's restaurant. And I'm going like, wow, they are just asking for trouble. But fortunately, no one was hurt. There was no confrontation. But it was much like the stance. I think you had some white people up in Michigan around the Capitol, armed militia or whatever you want to call themselves, or terrorists around the Capitol. And something came out down here. We have Kelly Loeffler is our senator from Georgia, and she made a statement that she's all for the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms and so forth. But when she saw these armed black individuals here at the Wendy's, she called them thugs and said that they should were trying to do mob rule or something like that. She was very critical of them. And so, I think it gets selective, obviously, that one group of people can do something and it's okay, and another group when you see black people with a gun, then you pretty much know that they are going to be in a whole lot of trouble, and you're just hoping and praying that they survive the day and get to see the sunrise the next morning.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so they were actually patrolling the area with AK-47s and whatnot.
Yeah, they were armed, and there was a bunch of them. It was amazing. I'm going like, they're not going to make it. But there was no confrontation.
Yeah, I've seen something to that effect on television. Well, I didn't see the blacks. Okay, they didn't put. I seen it was a lot of white folks, you know, walking around there with their rifles and stuff. You know, they weren't AK-47s because you can't. I don't think you can buy AK-47s up in the United States. I'm not really sure, but I don't think you can because it's a Russian-made rifle.
You're right, John. I don't know what kind of gun it was, but it was a rifle with a banana clip to it. So,
right.
That's the way it was described to me a long time ago. So anytime I see a banana clip in a gun, I'm going the other way.
I basically sounded like it was an assault rifle. You know, it wasn't
right,
for a deal.
AR-15 right. or something like that. And I'm no expert on guns.
Yeah, it wasn't for squirrel hunting.
Squirrel.
But
I'm familiar with the AK-47. You know, I had a couple in my hands. You
thanks
know,
for the correction.
During the Vietnam War.
Let me just say this to clear the air, because I might have some of my Caucasian brothers listening in today, which is great. And let me just say that we're not against anybody. It's just that our people have some issues that we're trying to deal with, and different people deal with it differently. And hopefully in the end, it's going to come out where we have freedom and equality for all. So I don't want anybody to take an idea that we are anti anything. You know, we're just for equality, justice for everybody. So I'll just say that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Mr. Brooks. That's something that we don't want anybody to think that we are a type of people that, you know, we hating on people because of their nationality or because of their color. That's something that, you know, we don't want nobody to think. So only thing that we are against is people that's against people that because of their nationality or color. You know, if you against Mr. Brooks because of his color, well, I don't like it. And if somebody against a white person because they of their color, I don't like that neither. You know,
I agree with what John said earlier. It's about uplifting the African American youth and the black race. It's not about being against anyone. It's about uplifting and moving forward in a positive direction.
That's right.
Right. Well, let me say this, guys, if I can chime in, because there might be some younger people listening in. What advice do y'all give to younger people or anybody that is stopped by the police? Like I say, you drive, you stopped by the police. What, Malcolm and John, what do y'all advise young man, young lady to do?
Quite frankly, Jan, I'm going to put my hands on my steering wheel at 10 and 2, and I'm going to say, yes, sir, officer, no, sir, officer. I'm going to give them the greatest respect, okay? And the reason I came to this conclusion was this happened several years ago. I was stopped by some cops here in Atlanta. It was a white cop in a rural area of Atlanta. But anyway, I asked the cop what was wrong, and he told me I hit the line. And I had no idea what he was talking about. I asked him again. But anyway, what I knew is that if I went to jail on Friday night, it would probably be Monday or Tuesday before I got out. And I definitely didn't want to spend any nights in jail. At the same time, I'm looking at different instances where black people and African-American people are standing up for their rights, and I do applaud them for that. They are letting the cops know that, hey, you cannot enter my home. You cannot, I don't have to give you ID. I don't have to do anything, do some of the commands that you are making of me, because they I have my own constitutional rights, and this is you are abusing my constitutional rights by asking me to take certain actions or asking to enter my vehicle or search my vehicle or come into my home or show ID or different aspects of this. So I applaud them for standing up. But I chose to go the path of less resistance and just cooperate with the officers fully and move on from there, live to fight another day.
Thank you so much, Malcolm, because I feel exactly the way you feel. If I get stopped, matter of fact, I was stopped by the police about maybe 3 months ago, and so I pulled over, and he came to the passenger side, and so I rolled down my window, and he asked me to see my registration and my driver's license. So I gave him my driver's license, and I told him. And so he asked me to see the registration. I said, well, sir, once you call in, they're going to show us that everything is legit. I got insurance. I got everything. Well, I need to see that. I said, no problem. You know, I went in my glove compartment. I got it, and I showed it to him. He took everything and went in the back of the car. And then when he came back, he said, okay, well, you can go. I said, I just curious, why did you stop me? He said, oh, well, I just want to let you know you got a tail light. Your light on my license plate was out. And I said, oh, okay, well, thanks a lot. You know, thanks for looking out, sir. You know, and so he said, well, you have you enjoy the rest of your night. And I said, oh, okay, thank you very much, sir. And I left, right? I get to my destination where I was going. I checked it out. Man, there wasn't no light out.
Wow.
And
wow.
I say, well,
that brings up another thing too. When anybody is driving, you want to make sure that you have your driver license and your registration. And here in California, you have to show them your proof of insurance as well. And
right.
Just try to make sure that, you know, all your signal lights. In other words, you don't want to give them no excuse for stopping you in the first place. Don't be running no stoplight. Don't be running the stop sign. You know, put your signals on. Just try not to give the police an excuse for stopping you. Have your tag up to date on your cars, number one. And number two, check all your lights and everything. And, you know, pay attention. Don't be wobbling. You can be sober sometime, you know, wobbling on the road. You know, they think you're drunk. So try not to give them an excuse for stopping you in the first place. Obey the law.
Right. Okay. Well, we have another caller. Okay, let's let him in. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Walter from Alabaster, Alabama.
Hey, Walt.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Walt, where you
been,
late. Man?
I'm a caregiver for my father, and I was a little late getting him ready this morning. So, but to the point, Malcolm made a very good observation. You know, you take the path of least resistance, live to fight another day. Jan, you made an excellent point. Obey the law. Make sure that you are correct in every respect. Make sure that all your vehicle lights, some states have inspections, some states don't. But make sure that your vehicle is in perfect operating conditions. And when you stop by a police officer, as Malcolm said, put your hands on the wheel. You don't do nothing until the officer give you direction. Let him direct you as to what he wants you to do. That way you are non-confrontational. At the same time, if he asks you for license and registration, you tell them, if it's in your glove box, you say, officer, it's in my glove box. They more than likely going to ask you, do you have any guns, weapons, or what have you. If you do have a gun, let them know right up front. They're gonna get in their protective stance, but let them know. If you do have your license and registration for it, let them know that, sir, I have my license and registration for the weapon. They ask you, where is it? You tell them where it is. If it's in your wallet pocket, you tell them, sir, I'm in my wallet. It's in my wallet, in my back pocket. What do you want me to do? Let them give you what they want you to do. Cooperate. It's the best way to get. 9 times out of 10, when you cooperate and everything, and you are in order, you can be on your merry way. And that's not to say that an officer should have, yes, an officer should have a reason to stop you. But on the street is not the place to have a confrontation. You're going to lose on the street. If you feel like you have a legitimate gripe or whatever, if you get a citation and all that, you got a court date. Go to court. You know, but on the street, that is not the place to do it. Even though you think you might be right. And there's another thing. Thinking you're right and knowing you're right is two different things. Some people want to think that they know their rights, but they don't. They really don't. You better understand, go and read and find out what your rights are. That officer does have a right to stop you. That badge gives him a right to restrict your freedom, folks. It's called, and it's the one thing that I really object to in my 38-year law enforcement career is qualified immunity. It does not hold officers accountable. I have a serious problem with that.
Well, I think that's one thing that they're trying to deal with. And, gentlemen, let me say this. I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. Don't be putting your hands on the officer.
No. No.
Don't be putting your hands on officer. Don't be taking his taser gun. Don't, you know. I mean.
No.
So, I mean, that almost goes without saying, but in a lot of these cases right now, you know, the kids is like going up to the officer's car, you know, tussling with them, you know, and wanting to wrestle with them. And so I mean, I don't care if it's an officer or who. If he got a gun and you don't have a gun, it's best that you don't mess with it. And so what y'all got to say about that?
Hey, I totally agree. I kind of want to get your opinion on this, especially you, Walter, because you're law enforcement. But Tim Scott, I think, he's the chief author of a bill about, I guess, police reforms. I don't know a lot about it, but I just kind of superficially have heard about it on the news or whatever. And wanted to get your thoughts on that bill and should it have passed? Is it watered down or do we? I guess really the question I have in my mind, do we want to pass a watered-down bill? We just passed a hate crime bill here in Georgia. Do we want to pass a watered-down bill or any bill at all that addresses the issue? Is it important to pass any bill and then build upon that for the future?
Right now, while the momentum is going, we see what's happening in America, and it ain't got nothing to do with Democrat or Republican from where I stand. The bill that the Democrats proposed in Congress is the bill. The bill that the Senate proposed is a watered-down version. It's kind of like, well, not now, maybe later on, but let's just do this for right now. No, let's take care of the problem before us right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
no, I was listening at CNN, and they was talking on CNN about Cuomo. Governor Cuomo, he was saying something to the effect where he was trying to get the citizens to come up with their own bill, how they want the police department to perform in their community. What y'all think about that?
It's still going to have to be sent to your representative. It's not going to go anywhere. You got to get with your representatives. Try to get your representative to sponsor a bill as a community. If a community comes together and put together what they think is a good bill, it's got to go through your representative. That's what you elect them for.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's going nowhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts? What are y'all thoughts on that?
Oh, I totally agree. You got to vote. You got to do things through your legislature, because that's the way laws are made. And laws have been made through our legislature that negatively affect us. And so I'm kind of on board with you again, Walter, with your previous statement that we need to do it through our legislators right now, I guess, while we have the momentum going. Things are happening right now, and so we need to push it as far. We need to go with this trend as hard and as long and as far as we can.
Exactly. This is an election year. All the momentum that's going on in the country now, we got to ride this wave. It's a strong, big tidal wave coming in. We got to ride this wave. If you wait till this wave passes, then it'll be another 40, 50 years, and some old folks are going to have to come up and lose their lives again. So you got to take advantage
right.
of the momentum while you have the populace. You have the people on your side right now. The majority still supposed to rule in America, except for when it comes down to the election. We got the Electoral College, but that's something for another day. But the majority right now is supposed to rule. So let's go with the majority. While we got the majority of the people wanting reforms, let's push to do what we know needs to be done. Take a look. If you hadn't had a chance to look, take a look at the House of Representatives bill that's put forth, and take a look at the Senate bill, and make a decision for yourself and see who's trying to do some real reform or who is just trying to placate.
Well, Walter,
another thing too, you know, like I don't really believe that we can really do a really good, superb job on this year, and because we can't get people together because of the pandemic. You know, we can only get so many people, and that's it. And what y'all feel about the pandemic? I mean, because in California, they're saying that there's more people getting the virus than anything. I mean, it's getting bad. It's getting really, really bad.
John,
the only thing you can do is just try to protect yourself, you know. Wear your mask and your glove and wash your hands, you know. I try to stay home as much as possible, you know. But
exactly. We know what to do, what we know to do, but this is a fact, gentlemen. People do what they want to do. That's why the virus is spreading out. People want to get out and go to clubs, go to beaches and all that stuff right there. So now that age group that's under 40, that's what you're getting now. But they are more likely to be able to fight off that virus because they have a stronger immune system. Those of us who are over the age of 40, not so much. But still, as far as voting is concerned, people, exercise your right to vote. If you want to vote, you vote. Right there in the Atlanta area, Malcolm, you were familiar with that a couple of weeks ago. People stood in lines for hours and hours. We understand that there are problems with the machines, and you can look at this as possibly voter suppression. But at the same time, people that really felt that strong about voting, they stood there, they did what they need to do to vote.
That's right. There's no excuse not to vote.
Down here, there's an issue, and excuse me for talking over you, but there's an issue here in Georgia and nationwide with the mail-in vote. And the thing of significance here in Georgia, well, I'd say in Fayette County where I live, the Republicans outnumbered the Democrats as far as the mail-in votes. And I also would take note that although President Trump is against it, that's the way he has voted, is what I've seen indicated in the news, is that he generally votes through mail-in votes. And so, but that's a big issue down here.
Amen.
Yeah, I was in California. The mail-in been going on for quite some time. They send it to you in the mail, and then you fill it out and send it back. And I generally, I'm a little old school. I like to go to the polls still, but my wife, she pretty much does. She's been doing mail-in for years, several years. And so I guess, you know, I can't find anything wrong with it. I guess if you wanted to, you could find something wrong with it. But generally, when you have a greater turnout, Democrats usually win. If you can curtail the turnout, then generally, from what I've noticed in the past, Republicans usually win. So a lot of times it's a political ploy, you know, just depending on what side you're on, depending on how you feel you're going to win, you know, the election. So we got about 6 more minutes. And
no, 3 minutes.
Three
and a half minutes.
Okay. So I want to thank everybody for calling in today. I know we have probably some people that's calling in and in the listening mode. I want to encourage you as we go along to continue on. And any closing statements from anybody? Walt, Malcolm, John.
I'll let you guys close it out.
I want to say is that I want to thank everybody for joining in Council of Elders program on Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And I wanted to inform you guys, if you guys want to, y'all can check it out on Wednesday night. Okay, the Uplifting Community Talk Show is letting someone else use the platform, and it's going to be Surviving Cancer by Bren. And they're going to be talking about, you know, people that had cancer and things of that nature. That's another thing that we got to talk about in our community, because there's so many of us had cancer, men's prostate cancer, women's breast cancer, and things of that nature. So it's like an awareness. So if you guys want to tune in, that would be really, really good. Okay, a very good show. And other than that, I'm going to pass it on to whoever want to say that. We want to say something. We got 2 minutes left.
Right. What time is that? What time is that Pacific time, John?
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's 6 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Central, and 9 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, is that the same number, the 516 number?
Yes. Mhm. The same phone number.
Okay.
516-531-9993. That would be the same phone number for you to call in, because it's a Uplifting Community Talk Show platform.
6 o'clock Pacific on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday night.
Yes. And,
well,
and Saturday we're going to be back on air with Council of Elders program this Saturday.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I just want to mention everybody, tell a friend about the Council of Elders show. We have various topics. Today was kind of general, but we did cover some good things, and if anybody was listening, particularly young people, hopefully they got something out of it. And that's about all I have to say. At some point, we talk about what we can say to our children and grandchildren about you know, navigating these times. And so with that, I'll just close it out with a prayer. And I say thank you, Lord, for allowing us to get together today, Lord. Lord, I just everyone listening, Lord, I just ask you to bless them and anoint them, Lord, with your understanding and your wisdom. Bless them in good health and their entire families and households. Lord, we ask that you give our leaders guidance and that you give us guidance
amen.
As well. These things that we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. Okay, y'all, this show is over with. Let's go out today and have a good time and make somebody happy. God bless
amen.
You.
All right.
God bless
thank
y'all.
Everybody for calling in.
God bless.